may be seated. Well, I'm an error on that, but stay there. That's okay. I've learned that you can hear whether you're seated or standing. So with that, you may want to join me this morning as I read from the Gospel of Luke, the fourth chapter, the 14th through the 21st verse. I'll be reading from the NIV translation. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue. As was the custom, he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, now as we go into looking at the scripture, I pray that you will use the words that you have given to me so that we might get new insights, so that we might truly hear, and above all, so we might increase our understanding. Amen. Joel, thank you. You are just a wonderful precursor. I love that line. Do you listen to everything your parents say the first time? As a pastor, do you listen to everything your preacher says the first time? I love it. I love it. The fact is that hearing and understanding don't always come very quickly, or at least they haven't in my life. So as we look at the scripture this morning, I'd like for us to look at it maybe and ask some questions that maybe you've thought of, but you would dare not say out loud to someone else as you hear the scripture. Our scripture this morning begins sort of piggybacking on where Brian was last Sunday. Brian talked about Jesus in his first actual miracle. He turned water into wine. And Brian turned that so that we begin to understand that Jesus was at an ordinary place and did something extraordinary at that wedding feast. Today we move into scripture where Jesus is beginning to alert everyone just what his mission really is. The scripture begins and tells us that he's just been out in the wilderness where he's been tempted. Now my first question to us is, how do most of us really adjust when there are times in our lives that we know we're being torn in a lot of places we don't need to go? What do we do? The question then becomes, are we setting the stage to realize that Jesus knows he's anointed because he's been through all that temptation and he's been so close in prayer and scripture that now he's ready to move forth? Now, the reason I come to that is, you ever heard that expression, you can be a prophet everywhere, but where? Your homeland. The first thing he does, heaven forbid, is go back to his home church. You ever thought about how difficult that is? If you've grown up in this church or any other church, perhaps you go away to school, you come back, and they ask you some Sunday to speak or to get up and share your experience. How do you look at that young person when they're standing up there? What are the questions that are going through your mind? You're going, hey, that's so-and-so's son or daughter. You know, they've gone away to school. They think they know it all now. Right? There's a lot of things we bring to that, even though we're focused on that young person when they come back. And I can't help but believe that that's what was going on for Jesus that day. He'd already begun getting some notoriety, but he went back home. If you've ever been a young person, gone back to a place where you grew up and tried to share a new idea. see, you know what I'm saying. That is one of the most difficult places in the world that you can ever go. But temptation was nothing to going to Nazareth. And he went back to the places that he was used to, the church. Chances are everybody there that day knew him. That's another scary thing, isn't it? When you get up before people and they know things on you. They remember the things you wish they'd forgotten. But Jesus, that time, comes back to the temple and wants to share. I loved it when our kids sang this morning. If that didn't get you into the spirit of being in the temple, where it's okay to move, and if you were sitting in your pew and your toe was not tapping or your hands were not, something's wrong with you. Because in the temple, there was an attitude of being alive in God. So thank you, kids. I appreciate that. Sort of revved me up and got me going. Unfortunately, we've gotten so complacent in the church that we think we have to come in here and be so still, so quiet, and look like we're half dead. Is that not true? If not, come up here and stand with me. You get a different viewpoint. The fact is that God brings joy. But in that temple that day, somebody that they knew grew up right before their eyes, came back, and he shared a bombshell. He shared a bombshell. Because here this person they knew as a carpenter's son was standing up reading the scripture, which is what they would expect to be done, and then he announces his mission statement. Now keep in mind, everybody was ready for Messiah, who was going to be like the military, who was going to take over with power. So Jesus stands up in front of those folks he's known. All their eyes are on him. And then he says, from Isaiah, the anointed one's going to come. And he didn't say this, but he or she is going to free the captives, heal the sick, bring the good news to people who need it. That's a bombshell. You've been waiting for the Messiah. And suddenly, this person you know stands up in front of you and tells you about what this Messiah is going to be like. What would have been the look on your face when you heard that? Would you have said, is he crazy? Who does he think he is? How can he know that when he's so young? There's a million questions we would have asked of that. But he had the courage. He knew. He'd been tempted. He'd gone through a lot of other things. But he knew he was anointed, and that was his mission. And then he caps it off by saying, hey, guess what? What you've heard today just came true. How would you have reacted to that? I would have been stunned. Then I would have started saying, I wonder if that's really true. You see, Jesus all along, I think, stayed so focused on his relationship with God through prayer and scripture that when he stood up in that kind of situation, it made no difference how people reacted. He knew who he was and what he was supposed to do. He had grown up a good Jew, which means he knew Midrash, which is the way the Jews a lot of times study Scripture. They go into it and ask all the questions from a standpoint of really being in the story. So he knew Scripture. He knew Scripture so well because he had lived in it. And now he was up proclaiming that not only has he lived in Scripture, but he is the living Scripture. He is the one that's come to show them how to live. Now my question becomes, if Jesus was so focused, how do we focus on him? I don't know about you, but it's been my experience. I have grown up in the church. For the longest time, I thought prayer was just like what the preacher did on Sunday. And that was the only way to pray, because that was the only model I'd been given. I think Jesus demonstrates in the Scripture an understanding of prayer that was just being with God. Learning how to listen more than speak. I don't know about you, but I look back and most of my prayer life has been like a laundry list. Hey, God, go see my neighbor. How audacious on my part that I think I need to share with God what God needs to be doing. Maybe it's a lot more important that I listen to what God's telling me I might need to be doing. But prayer's essential if we're going to stay focused. We have to learn to listen. And knowing the Scripture, wrestling with it where you've put yourself in the story. There's a young woman that I mentor with, and when we met the last time, we agreed and we coveted that we have been reading the parable of the lost sheep this whole month. And what we're doing is letting ourselves become the characters in that story. We're letting ourselves be in the scene of that story. You ever thought about being a lost sheep? Need to ponder that. What does it really mean to be lost? You see, that was how Jesus had grown up with the Scripture, knowing to put himself in the Scripture, to hear what God was really leading him to do, not what other people said about the Scripture, but what he had come to know about the Scripture. As young kids, we are given imagination, right? It's like singing and drawing. By the time we're in the second grade, every kid prior to that time can tell you, oh yeah, I can sing, I can draw, I can do all these things. And by the second grade, no, I don't know how to do that. We've done the same thing with our imaginations, folks. We don't take time to imagine anymore. We don't allow ourselves the freedom of receiving imagination. And I think in studying Scripture, without imagination, we can't even begin to scratch the surface of what God's telling us in those love letters. Jesus was focused. He knew what he was supposed to do, even to the point that when he was on schedule going somewhere, he knew to stop when there was someone who needed him. We have story after story. The lady who touches his robe in a crowd, and he knows it. How about stopping along the way to see a little short Jewish tax collector up in a tree that needed encouragement? How about being so sensitive to a crowd of 5,000, just men they say, but anyway, 5,000 who were hungry but had come to hear him and having enough wisdom to know that they could hear better if they were full? He knew what his mission was. And if we're going to stay focused on Jesus, I think we have got to get more into the Scripture. We've got to realize that prayer is more than a resuscitation with certain words at a certain time. I really do believe that we're called children of God because God knows that unless we're childlike, we really don't get it. A child has imagination. A child is willing to try new things. And time means nothing to a child. I do believe that this is a model of Jesus' mission, but it's more than that. It's a way of us looking at how we might really be focused on Jesus. You see, Jesus asks us to live a certain way. Jesus does not ask us just to say we believe. Believing is a lot different than living. Now, I bring this all to you this morning, and here's a piece of commercial before I quit. Some of you have asked, what are you going to do in these classes? I'm inviting you to come and play with me and God. Exactly. To learn that prayer has many different forms. To learn that when you become a character in the story, it's amazing the meaning that you may get back from it. And to come and experience with other people in an environment where we can ask the wildest questions we've ever wanted to ask, and then be open to hearing what God may have to say. So I invite you, if this has just whetted your appetite a little bit about asking questions and being more honest about being in the story, I want you to pray about it. And the kind of prayer that says, God, I don't know whether I need to do this or not, and just be quiet. And wait till someone calls you and says, are you going to that class at church? Or something comes up and you think, oh, that's what she said. Then that's God saying to you, hey, come on, the invitation's for you. Let's come and play. Because I call you to a way of life, not just a set of beliefs.